Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. I'm back in Studio A with my guest this morning. As I mentioned, an update from Aztec School. Superintendent Kevin Summers is joining me this morning. He is remotely this morning. And so, Superintendent Summers, we will connect with you here and say good morning to you. Good to see you.
Good morning. Yeah, it's great to see you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thank you for being here this morning and bringing us an update about all the things that have been going on with Aztec Schools. We are well into the new school year, of course. And so things are going smoothly for your staff and faculty and students?
Well, I think it's going as smoothly as we can expect it to go. You know, we're still figuring out how this whole school thing works, life after COVID, you know.
Right.
But no, I think we've got a lot of great celebrations. We've got a lot of great things going on in the community, and we're ecstatic to be of service to the community.
Very good. Well, the one thing we want to celebrate with you this morning is, of course, an award for one of your schools that got some pretty good recognition, national recognition, if I'm not mistaken, correct? Lydia Rippey.
That is correct. Yeah, Lydia Rippey Elementary received a national blue ribbon from the United States Department of Education. It's the highest award that can be bestowed on a school from the U.S. Department of Education. And what makes it particularly celebratory is the fact that this is the first national blue ribbon school that Aztec Municipal School District has had in the about 40-year inception of the program. So we're very, very excited. They're one of three in the state of New Mexico and one of only 353 in the entire nation.
Wow. Congratulations. And to you and the faculty, of course, the teachers and staff at Lydia Rippey, and I'm sure they all worked hard to get that recognition. Take us through a bit about some of the things that they were looking at to get this recognition. What types of things makes a school a blue ribbon school?
Sure. Well, so the biggest thing is achievement. Mm-hmm. That's what schools exist for, is to increase student achievement. And so the way that a school gets a national blue ribbon is that the state education agency, in our case the New Mexico Public Education Department, they are the ones that actually make the recommendations to the federal government. And so the way that New Mexico operates, given the number of schools that we have in our state and our population, New Mexico can nominate up to three schools every year. But the major criteria is that those three schools have to be in the top 15% academically of the state, and or they have to be in the top 15% of schools closing the achievement gap. So there's kind of two big broad categories that schools can qualify for. And we're fortunate that Lydia Rippey qualified for what's known as the Exemplary High Achieving Award. So they have some of the best test scores, not only in the state, but in the nation. So that's kind of the first process, is that the state nominates it. It being the campus,
right?
But once nominated, then there's a pretty rigorous application process that has to be undergone. And so there was a team of people actually working on that application. And then you kind of sit and wait. So we've known about the nomination since about February, and we really just received the official word on this in September. So we're ecstatic, we're over the moon, and I think more so than just this being an award for the school, it's an award for the community, right? I think that this is an award that speaks to our community and lets them know that we're doing great things in the Aztec Municipal School District. And really, if all things were equal, I'd like to see all of our campuses receive an award like this in the coming years.
Right. I was just going to ask you if this means that maybe your other campuses are maybe on notice to maybe kind of meet what Lydia Rippey has achieved.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think awards like this have the potential to either unite or divide the school community. And I'm really grateful for the fact that our other principals have looked at this award and said, "Hey, congratulations, Lydia Rippey. Now we want one too." And so we're really going to leverage that. And I want Aztec to be known as the school district of choice, that we're not only competitive in San Juan County and the state of New Mexico, but we're competitive nationally.
And Superintendent Summers, let me ask you, for parents maybe who are sending their kids to Lydia Rippey, I imagine they can feel good with this recognition. But if I'm a parent sending my child to another school in Aztec, does it just mean that they are getting similar education, just maybe without the recognition?
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, all of our elementary schools, they're extremely collaborative in their planning processes, in their teaching processes. So just because McCoy Elementary or Park Avenue Elementary doesn't have their blue ribbon yet, doesn't mean that they're not worthy of one.
Very good. Very good. I want to also ask you about the election coming up, of course. There is a mill levy question on the ballot for Aztec schools. It's on the ballot with all the other questions, of course, at the city and state and municipal elections. It'll be happening in November. But this vote is important for the school district. The money is used for a lot of different things I'm going to ask you about. But what are folks going to see? It's a question, basically just a yes or no question, right on the ballot.
Correct. It's a for or against question on the ballot. It's known as the Aztec Public School Capital Improvement Tax. And I think the big highlights are to note that this is already an existing tax, right? So reauthorizing it won't change the tax rate. And then I think the important thing is to know what are these funds used for? So when it comes to public schools, we are obviously public funded. And some of that money comes from the state, some of that money comes from the federal government, but there's a lot of requirements as to how you can use those funds. So when it comes to mill levy, it's no different. Very prescriptive funding source for us. Each year we get about 1.3 million from the current mill levy. And what do we use that for? Well, we use it for safety projects, you know, fences, secured vestibules for all of our schools. If you visited any of our schools recently, you'll see that there's a what's called an airphone, which is kind of a caller ID system that people have to interact with our front office staff before they actually even gain entrance into our building. So, you know, as a public education organization, obviously moving the needle with regard to student achievement is priority number one, but it's closely followed by keeping our children safe. So a lot of safety projects with that, as well as general maintenance, you know, HVAC repairs, they're very expensive. And so we're able to kind of leverage the mill levy to help us keep up with those repairs and those safety updates and general construction updates without having to impact kind of the bottom dollar that goes into the classroom. And so we're very grateful for the fact that our community has supported a mill levy since as far back as 1998. And we're hopeful that they will continue to support this because one of the things that we believe is that students deserve to have a great environment. And we don't necessarily want to do that on the backs of our kiddos and their teaching materials in the classroom.
Right. And this is one of those situations where it's kind of the school districts that run off of different buckets of money, if you will, right? And so this is a bucket of money, if approved, that you could use for just these specific things, items like repairs and safety and things that you mentioned. You can't use that money for salaries and things along that line. Am I on the right track?
You're spot on, Scott. This bucket of money is used specifically for, you know, safety, transportation, general construction and upgrades, HVAC services, repairs. You know, unfortunately, we've got some older buildings, and those buildings have to be repaired. It's normal wear and tear. But it also allows us to do upgrades to buildings. It also allows us to buy classroom technology for our students. And so we are a one-to-one district, which means every one of our students has a electronic device. And you know, this is a bucket of money that can help us keep that going for future classes, for future generations. But you're absolutely right. We don't pay salaries. We don't pay benefits. You know, it's not me or anyone else padding our income. This money is truly for infrastructure, and infrastructure specifically for students.
Right. It's not that you don't, but you legally can't, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, we legally can't.
Right. There you go. And I guess the other side of that coin would be if this does not pass, Superintendent Summers, is that you might have to dip into your other bucket of money, maybe like the general fund, to pay for emergency repairs. I mean, there's probably a lot of maybe wants that you can't get if this does not pass, but a lot of needs that you'll have to figure out a way to pay for. New roof or HVAC or whatever for some of your schools, the money has to come from somewhere else.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so that's kind of our ask to the community is continue to partner with us, continue to help us fund this mill levy so that we don't impact the classroom, right? The last thing we want to do is to have to rob Peter to pay Paul just to make sure that our students have a roof over their heads and a safe and comfortable learning environment.
Right.
So, you know, like I said, we're very grateful for the fact that the community supported it since 1998, and we really appreciate your vote.
Sure. And for folks who maybe live in the district who maybe say, well, I don't have a child going to Aztec schools, they may still interact with Aztec schools as a public building, go to a football game or a basketball game or a softball game, or you name the sport, or a concert or a play, all those things. These are public buildings. The public's always invited to attend school events and community events at facilities that are maintained by Aztec schools.
Absolutely. We truly are of service to the community. And so a lot of times our school sites are actually hosting community events. For instance, in November, we're hosting what may be the first ever Navajo powwow at the Lily White Complex, which is on the campus of Aztec High School. So our sites aren't just necessarily for students. Obviously, they're for the community as well. They are public buildings. And so we try to maintain them as best we can, and this mill levy certainly helps us do that. I also would say to you, Scott, you know, even when we were in school, there were folks who supported us as students. And so it's kind of a pay it forward type of situation for me. I gladly pay my taxes recently, so that even though I do have kids in the school, but even if I didn't have kids in the school, somebody did that for me. In the past, and so it's just a great opportunity to be able to pay it forward.
Right, there you go. And again, election day is November 7th. I believe early voting is happening now at various locations in the county, and folks can go and cast their vote. And there's other issues and questions and school board elections and things on the ballot as well.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Very good. Very good. And Mr. Summers, you and your staff, maybe not you personally, but you might have been there. We're busy over the weekend at the Fall Festival in Aztec on Saturday. I was able to stop by for a little bit of time, but you folks were busy with a lot of community outreach, I think. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so you know, every time we're on the show, Scott, we're talking about career and technical education, and we believe it to be very important. The one thing that we want to prevent from happening in the future or repeating in the future is that we export our kids. As a state, we export our kids at a pretty alarming rate, I think. You know, they go through our K-12 system, they go to Albuquerque or Socorro or San Juan College or Las Cruces to get some further education, some higher ed. And then a lot of times we see them leave the area. And so what we're really dedicated to doing is exposing kids to college and career that are available in our community. And what we were able to do through a grant is we were able to buy some career exploration kits. So these are actually aimed more specifically at our younger kiddos, grades, you know, kindergarten up to middle school. But they were career exploration kits that are really hands-on, STEM-oriented builds. Sometimes there's, you know, medical coloring books that are, you know, medically accurate in terms of what a heart looks like or what the respiratory system looks like. And so what we wanted to do is just give that to our kiddos and our families so that they have some really highly engaging, tactile activities to do as families. And it doesn't cost them anything, but it also exposes them to career, and they can start having those conversations as a family unit, so that when students enter into our high schools, and we're asking them to kind of choose a career pathway to focus on, they've got a little bit of idea of the things that interest them, as well as the things that don't interest them.
Very cool. And we saw, I think, a couple of those kits close up maybe last month on the show. So for folks who are wondering what we're talking about, you can look in the archives of YouTube or Facebook videos and see the show that we were talking about those kits. And they look really, really interesting. They're hands-on, as you mentioned, and they really allow these students to kind of explore and learn more about these potential careers that they may be interested in. And I imagine you got a pretty positive response there at the Fall Festival.
Yeah, so we had over 700 kits, and we didn't know if we'd be able to give them all out, and we did. We gave them all out and tried to keep track a little bit of are we giving this one to one, or how many students are we actually serving here? And so we gave out all over 700 kits. We served over 1,100 students by doing that, and it seemed to be a really big hit with the community. So we're grateful for the opportunity to do that. We want to continue to build those relationships within the community and specifically around college and career.
And I know we've talked about this before, Mr. Summers, but again, just how important is it for kids, even younger kids, younger students, to start thinking about careers, even in, middle school grades and even maybe even younger than that?
Yeah, well, I think it's extremely important. And specifically when I think about my own children, what is it that they want to be when they grow up? They want to be the things that they're familiar with. And so I think the onus now falls on us as a community, whether that's families or whether that's the school or in partnership together, to kind of expose kids to all of the different possibilities that exist. When I go into first grade and kindergarten classrooms and I ask them what they want to be when they grow up, they give me the things that they're familiar with, whatever mom does, whatever dad does, grandma, grandpa, they're familiar with dentists and doctors and firefighters and police officers, and those are all great and noble careers. But you rarely get a student who says, I want to be a mud engineer, or I want to be an architect. And so I think for us, it's important to expose kids to as many careers as possible, just to help hone in on what are their passions, what are their strengths. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to pick a career in kindergarten and that's what they're going to be when they graduate from high school. But hopefully it at least saves a little bit of money and time for families and taxpayers with regard to higher ed. Right. And I think I'm a perfect example of that. I was going to be a doctor. That's what I knew I was going to do. And then when I got into college and I started down that path of the medical field, I realized really quickly, like, oh, you know what? This isn't for me. But it came at a cost, and it came at a cost of actual dollars as well as time. So we're really trying to help expedite some of those pieces of the process. Maybe we won't find the kiddo their absolute desired career, but maybe we'll find something that they at least know they don't want to do. And so we can start to check things off the list for them. But I think ultimately, when we get students matched up with the careers that they're interested in, their strengths and their passions, ultimately it just benefits everyone. And hopefully we can get them to retain in our community and contribute to that local economy.
Very true. Very true. And it sounds to me like somebody should have told your parents about dual credit classes, Mr. Summers.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But that's great. And I guess for parents, right, they can be encouraging for their children to, explore some of these careers at this early age and just really try to feel out what they are interested in and maybe find out what they're not interested in, as you mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's great for parents to have those conversations with their kiddos. My kiddos know that I'm a superintendent, but they really don't know what that is. And so there's a lot of conversations that we have about the decisions that I make and the work that I do. And so I think it's important for us as parents to have those conversations. And like I said, maybe it doesn't necessarily result in our children following in our own footsteps, and that's okay. I think every parent wants the same thing for their kid, which is to have a better life than the life that they currently have. And so I think that that's great. One of the things that I would ask parents to do if they're interested in participating with this, not only having those conversations at home with your kiddos, but reach out to your kiddos' campuses, because every campus is doing career and technical education exploration in some way, shape, or form. For instance, at our elementary school, we've got a bunch of guest speakers that are coming in. Last month at Lydia Rippey, one of my own children got to hear from park rangers and archaeologists and geologists. And it's really hands-on, it's really fun, and we could use the help. If there are interested parents that want to come and talk about careers, we'd love to have you. So please reach out to the schools and we'll get you signed up.
That sounds great. That sounds very good. And again, to find a job that you are passionate about, that you really want to be a part of, it's almost like you don't work. If you have a career that you really enjoy, it's not like you have to go to work. It doesn't seem that way. At least it has been for me, and I hope for others as well. Maybe you too.
Mostly, you know, there's times where it's not all fun and rainbows.
Fair
but,
enough.
That's the calling that I have been called into, and so I chose this, and it's something that I'm very passionate about. And I agree. I think, by and large, 95-98% of the time, it's fun. It's rewarding work, and so that's our ultimate goal with kiddos, is to hook them up with their passion, ignite that fire early, and then show them all the ways that they can leverage that passion into a career that's meaningful and impactful to not only their family, but the community at large.
There you go. Well, and again, one of the best parts of my job is getting to hang out with people like you once a month, if not more. And that's been a great boon to me. And maybe that, for your kids, maybe, getting to be on the radio once a month, that could be a win. I don't know.
No, who knows? Yeah, absolutely.
Very good. Mr. Summers, it's great to catch up with you. Thank you for your time this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott. It's always a pleasure. I'm slightly saddened that I could be potentially the highlight of your day, but I'm grateful to have that opportunity. So thanks for having us.
It has been a highlight for sure. Thank you, sir. We'll see you in about a month. Take care.
Yes, sir. Have a great day.
You too. That's Superintendent Kevin Summers from the Aztec School District. My guest is SJE Farmington. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.